Welcome to the Claim Hunters. I am Chris Tidball, an executive claim consultant with Subro IQ, where we routinely find our clients significant amounts of trapped cash. On our show, we will explore the epidemic of trapped cash across not only the insurance industry, but the global business landscape. Our guests bring a unique perspective on challenges faced by businesses that impact their bottom line. We believe that everyone has a great story to tell, and this is the forum to tell it. We hope you enjoy today's episode and stick around to learn more about how you can be a guest in 20 minutes or less. All right, welcome to the Claim Hunters podcast. I am here with Gary Leonard, who is the Vice President of General Liability with Gallagher Bassett. Welcome, Gary.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me. I appreciate you taking some time here today.
Yeah, absolutely. Likewise. We typically start out with, even though we all seem to have the same story that recounts our early days as an adjuster with our company cars and our bag cell phones and all that. But how did you get into this, into the claims game?
So while my story's similar to what you just mentioned, not exactly the same. I'm the youngest of three in my family.
Okay.
And my brother, my oldest brother, owned his own private investigation firm.
Oh, nice.
And as a result of that, when I was in college, I started to do some part-time work for him, which included working with carriers, doing surveillance, taking some recorded and written statements, accident reconstruction, all of which I learned from my oldest brother.
Okay.
I finished up college, worked with him part-time, while I took a full-time job working with the state of Rhode Island, managing group homes for juvenile delinquents.
Nice.
So pretty interesting twist, right? And fast forward about 5 years, wrapped up my master's degree and was just about to have my second child. And a good buddy of mine says, I know you're struggling in the human services field. I can probably get you $42,000 with Progressive.
Okay.
All right. So this is going back 29 years ago.
Right.
And that was going to be about a $10,000 bump for me. So I said, sign me up. I had a background in insurance and investigations. I knew I enjoyed it. Granted, formal claims adjuster work was a little bit different, but I landed at Progressive and have stuck it out, stayed in the field for, like I said, 29 years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So was that Progressive in the days of we all drove around in Volvos, or was that, had we moved beyond that into the IRVs?
Yeah, so we had moved beyond it into the immediate response vehicle shortly after training down in Tampa, Florida, came back and was driving around in an IRV, learning to write property damage estimates and settling claims at the accident scene, literally within 30, 45 minutes of an accident happen. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's always fun to talk to people to figure out how did they get into this claims game, right? I came out of college. I had no idea what I was going to do. And like a lot of people, you go, you find a job. I answered a want ad in the paper, and it was like, oh, here, you get a company car, and it's off to the races, sold. So your brother was a private investigator, and he had a firm, surveillance, okay? So surveillance, you've got to have some funny surveillance stories.
I have some great surveillance stories. My brother did a ton of work for the state of Rhode Island.
Okay.
Really managed all of their workers' comp investigations at the time. And without going too much into details, pretty interesting story is I ultimately followed an individual up to a very remote location in Canada with another investigator. This was a gentleman who suggested he had struggled walking, couldn't ride in a vehicle for more than 20 to 30 minutes, seemed to be just fine in the RV driving all the way up to Canada. It's about a 9-hour ride, if I remember correctly. We surveilled this guy and amongst his friends for 2 to 3 days at a campsite, had him on canoes, kayaks, fishing, you name it. And the best part about all that is, when I returned, I was able to go buy my wife today, her engagement ring.
Nice.
It was the best four or five day pay I had earned in a long time back
oh,
as
that's
a young
great.
Kid.
Yeah, I think I've always been a big fan of surveillance. I think that in the world, especially in areas where there's a high propensity of fraud, and Rhode Island is, look, there's fraud in Rhode Island. There's fraud everywhere, but Rhode Island seems to have its fair share. And in particular on the injury line. So everybody's hurt, everybody wants their payday, yet they're going to Canada and going canoeing and kayaking and fly fishing and all that stuff. And the old adage, picture is worth a thousand words. It's amazing, what a little bit of footage can do to a case.
No, I like your statement. It's worth a thousand words, but worth the savings of thousands of dollars, right?
Oh, yeah.
Piggyback that quick story with guys playing softball and seeing me with my video camera and
Yeah.
getting ready to chase me out of the field. I was a hockey player myself. I'd been in hockey rinks, getting guys playing in the hockey leagues,
Right.
you name it, at the gym, all the stories you hear. But I actually really liked it, being an investigator.
Yeah, it's a fun part of the job, right?
It is fun part of the job. You really, it's almost like being in law enforcement in some ways,
Right.
right? Because you're bringing down the criminals. I testified in court probably 30 to 40 times on different workers' comp cases and whatnot as well over the years. So yeah, I think that enough, not enough carriers use it on the
Right.
right cases. That's my perspective.
I totally agree. I think that we can be penny wise and pound foolish when it comes to a lot of investigative stuff. If you dig in, what do they say? 90% of Americans have back problems. And if you think about the typical claims, and I'm not talking about a serious injury, I'm talking about the 80% of claims that come across our desks that are garden variety soft tissue claims. Everybody's got a neck and back problem, and it's always related to the accident. Yet probably the overwhelming amount of time, it predated the accident. And just a little bit of digging into their background, what are they doing on the weekends? What other providers have they treated with? Things that we used to do that it doesn't seem like we do it as much. And what I've noticed is, and I'd be curious as to your take on this, but average BI severities continue to rise. And
Absolutely.
I know there's medical inflation, but it just seems to be that the investigations today don't seem to be as robust as they used to be.
No, I first of all, I agree with your statement, right? Obviously, severity is going up for a number of reasons. Social inflation, we talk about that all the time. We talk about nuclear verdicts driving up settlement values. So I could talk about that stuff all day long. That's an area of discussion that I really enjoy. But I also believe firmly that not only are we as a claims space, or we in the claims space, or as a claims world, we're not utilizing the tools enough that are available to us. And frankly, that's not just investigators, that's utilizing research, online research, Googling folks, Facebook, and their IMs and ChatGPTs. There is so much information out there on the general public, and probably about 80 to 85% of the general public love to tell their story every single day.
They do. And it's interesting that, and I believe this is a Facebook number, it may be other social platforms as well, but more than two-thirds of all accounts are public. They're not private. So, for example, you and I may have a Facebook account, but we go in and we take steps to make it private. Most people don't do that. And to your point, they're an open book. They love to tell their story. And it's a treasure trove of information. Yet you go into some companies and they've got a block. You can't even go into some of these social platforms to investigate.
It's a great point. And separate from Gary and Chris, our wives may have an account, even if we have something that's private, or our kids may have an account that is not private,
Exactly.
that is sharing details. So there's so much material out there in the space that, again, in the claims world, we're not utilizing the tools enough that are accessible to us. I'm also a big believer in very early, timely investigation,
Oh, yeah,
right?
definitely.
The sooner we can get the investigation done, the sooner we can gather the facts, the sooner we can resolve a case. There's a couple of good folks out there. I'm sure you, being a part of the CLM, we've heard of Bill Mitchell and his aggressive nature of trying to move cases. I strongly support that. I'm a big believer in moving past the days of insisting on a demand before you try to resolve a case. I've been trying to convince my clients for years. Listen, put real money on the table, very early,
right,
so that it takes people some time to stop and think about what they're being offered and make them think when they put their head down on the pillow at night, right? On these high severity cases, if you're offering, as an example, $5 million 5 weeks before a trial, and right, it took 5 years to get to trial, had you offered 1.5 4 years ago, there's a right, good chance that the case may have settled, because the plaintiffs know if it doesn't resolve in that realm, then they're going to be in trial in 4 or 5 years and they might get nothing. So you have to use all those tools in your box. Hey, the defense prevails in these cases 8 out of 10 times.
I think that your whole point about being proactive is critical, because you've got two components, right? So you've got this very serious injuries with the high severities, and being aggressive early on and coming to the table with a good solid offer. Absolutely. You want to force people to think, because you're going to take, it's going to take time, it's going to take money, and there's a time value to the money. And how many more cases could you as a plaintiff attorney take on if you had this $1.5 million, a third of that? But the flip side of that is on these, the lower value cases, that the plaintiff goes in, they talk to their attorney, they're convinced because they talked to their cousin or whoever, and they saw the attorney on TV, you're going to get millions of dollars, that their case is worth 10, 20, 30 grand. If you can lay your cards on the table early with that attorney before they are invested in the case, you got a much better chance of settling. Because once they incur a bunch of costs, and now all of a sudden the plaintiffs run up 50 grand in medical bills and there's a letter of protection out there, it just makes it harder to negotiate that. And it makes it harder for the plaintiff attorney too, because they're stuck in the position of saying, look, you're going to settle for something that's less than even your medical bills. So right, maybe you should have taken that 10 grand that was offered 2 weeks into the case when we provided them with little nuggets from the background investigation that we did early on.
I was chatting with some folks at the CLM, and without naming some of the organizations, they were sharing with me that one of their biggest problems today is their adjusters are, they're not picking up the phone and right, calling the plaintiff's attorney or the pro se claimant. Yep. They're emailing back and forth offers.
Yeah.
So there is no real negotiation going on. There's no thought process about what the merits are or are not of the case. Not sharing that stuff.
No, you're arguing numbers. At the end of the day, you're arguing numbers, and it makes no sense, because what you should be arguing is facts.
That's exactly right. And at GB, within my general liability team, and I could say within the liability team in general, we're really pushing hard on that. Early investigation,
yep,
timely resolution, putting a real number on a claim, and picking up the phone and having a real meaningful discussion about right, what the merits are or are not in a case. Right. And we find that by doing that, we're getting better results.
Oh, absolutely. The attorneys know, just like we know who the good and, I'm going to say good and bad, but we know who the good attorneys are. We know the ones who are more of the mills. They know who the adjusters are that are really aggressive and the ones who are real passive. And just like we have conferences like CLM, they've got conferences and they're sharing tactics that work. And there's probably a podcast in the alternate universe of two people talking about the opposite of what we're talking about. How do you get more from an insurance company? But, and they're probably arguing the same things, right? They're probably talking about, look, there's adjusters that are just overwhelmed with workloads. They don't have time to investigate. So this is the best approach to maximize your dollars. And that's the approach we have to take, is really understanding you have to build your investigation. It's really no harder to put together an outstanding file than it is to put together a mediocre file. You have to go through the same steps. And does it take a little bit longer? Maybe, but at the end of the day, you're going to get better outcomes. Like the loss, negotiations become a lost art, unfortunately.
It's a major concern for me.
Yeah.
You talk about when we started, and I mentioned Progressive, and while I'm not looking to advertise for Progressive, the training that they put forth back 28, 29 years ago
Yeah.
was second to none, right?
Absolutely.
And there were a lot of other carriers out there that really focused on claim adjuster training. Today, I don't feel like there's that same level of training across the industry as a whole. Again, I can tell you about what we do at GB, and we've really focused our attention on training our resolution managers up front via a training program. And as we develop them, we're working towards building something more successful. I think the folks that are engaged in the CLM, like you and I, are the trainers of the future, because a lot of these carriers, MGAs, et cetera, may not be investing the money in their claims adjusters that they need to be. So
Correct.
this things like the CLM, RISE, and other programs out there are bringing to the table become the training grounds for these new adjusters.
Yeah, and fortunately, there are a lot of us still left in the industry, but unfortunately, we're retiring at a pretty high rate. Among all of the occupations out there, claims folks are among the fastest group to be retiring. So we've got to use the time that we have remaining to really impart our knowledge and wisdom on the younger generation, and hopefully they can carry that forward. If you were going to give folks three things they should be doing to really maximize their liability outcomes, what would it be?
Driving timely investigations, number one,
Yeah.
and training our people to handle an investigation the right way. That's number one. I see so many people, so many adjusters, an investigation isn't completed, but they kick their diary down the road 2 months.
Yep.
We need to educate our folks how to use diary effectively. When you wrap up your investigation, okay, maybe you can move it out as you wait for medicals. But up front, that diary management's got to be super tight until you get that investigation complete.
Yeah,
Number one.
definitely.
Number two, when you wrap up that investigation, determine what the next steps are. Is it a liability denial? And if it is, and you're going to take that position, get the letter out and pick up the phone and
Right.
have a call with the claimant or their attorney and share that with them. This is our position and this is why. Again, I think a lot of adjusters lack that passion to pick up the phone and struggle to have those tough discussions with
Right.
claimants or their attorneys. Again, so we need to make sure we're training folks to do that. And then on the flip side, if it's a soft tissue injury and your investigation's wrapped up, it's okay to try to resolve the case early.
Sure.
And if you do those three things, they all sound really simple. And in fact, I think they can be.
Right.
Whether you're working at a carrier, a TPA, an MGA, in a captive, you name it, from a dollars and cents perspective, you're going to tighten your revenue.
No, that's pretty perfect advice. And Gary, thank you so much for joining us today. Great to have you on the show.
A lot of fun, Chris. I appreciate the conversation, and you have me
Absolutely.
here today. Thank you.
All right, let me Thank you for joining the Claim Hunters. We hope you enjoyed our show. If you would like to share your story, head on over to subroiq.com and click the YouTube button.